are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, December the 9th, and the Pacers go down again. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. A big weekend for me, maybe for you guys too. Went to the Pistons game on Friday as a fan after the press conference for the MAC championship game, which came on Saturday. I was there, had a little family party thing, went and covered the Michigan State basketball team on Sunday night. It's real late after midnight that I'm starting to record this pod, early Monday morning, late Sunday night. All sorts of stuff going on. Lions, of course, big game for the Lions in Minnesota. But the thing that's in my mind right now after this big weekend is this a holiday song, Christmas song that I hear, I think, about once a year. And I heard it tonight on the road in Lansing, pulling up to the Kellogg Center to get the parking pass there. And it's Dan Fogelberg, Auld Lang Syne. I recommend listening to it one time this holiday season. Really sad song, but it just sticks with me. It's not really even my genre. I don't like Dan Fogelberg. I don't think I've ever heard any of the songs that I know of. But anyway, that's my tip for you this holiday season. It's going to just, all the good things that are going on in the holiday season, all the great sports that we're watching, the bowl games are coming up, the NBA season is in full swing, and I can't get this damn Dan Fogelberg Auld Lang Syne song out of my head. But today, now you have to listen to it and get it in your head too. On Monday morning. Today we're going to look back to Friday's win for the Detroit Pistons. Sorry to those of you who didn't fast forward through my Dan Fogelberg rant, but also going to have three biggest takeaways from the weekend, and we're going to look ahead to tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans. Pistons back in action after kind of a weekend off after Saturday and Sunday no games. But the Pistons, well, give me a follow first on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, but the Pistons got the win. Like I said, I was there in attendance as a fan, thanks to listener Sean, as he often does, come through with the tickets, and had some real nice seats courtside, really kind of close to where I sit normally for covering games, but all the free drinks and food that you could possibly want. Good times for your boy here. But 108-101 over the Indiana Pacers on Friday night, winning and finishing the season series against Indiana 3-1. That's an accomplishment. That's a thing that matters. The Pistons need a few more things that are good and positive and matter to happen to turn this season all the way around. But for now, the Pistons improved to 9-14, ninth place alone in the Eastern Conference, still 2.5 games behind Orlando, who, by the way, Orlando and Brooklyn, a little bit of an uptick right now. 4 games, the Pistons are behind Brooklyn, who's sitting in 7th place alone. Those teams are playing well, establishing themselves as the teams that the Pistons have to chase and probably will be looking up at throughout much of the season, if not the entire season. But this game on Friday, especially if you're drinking the booze, was a roller coaster of a game. Great start for the Pistons. Third quarter, Indiana dominates it, but the Pistons kind of get back into it some more at the end of the third quarter, getting it down to 4 going into the fourth, and the Pistons really just played great at the end. It was one of those games that you're proud to be a Pistons fan, proud to be rooting and cheering hard for the guys out there. In particular, Andre Drummond, another fantastic game. I think it's been about 3 or 4 straight really good games for Andre Drummond after a stretch of some duds in there after his great start to the season. So speaking of roller coasters, holy crap, man, 26 years old. I'm getting whiplash from this guy, from the good and the bad from him so far this year. And the bad, to his credit, when I say the bad, it hasn't been really all that bad when it's been bad. It's been more the foul trouble and the dumb plays that have stood out in other games, not this one. But 25 and 22, another 20-20 for Andre Drummond. Just a huge, huge game for the big fella. He was all over the place defensively as well. Player of the game by far. Blake Griffin had 25 points, including the big three-pointer at the end of this one. Derrick Rose found Griffin for the big shot there. maybe a little bit of maturing, a little bit of gelling and meshing with that group that's going to be playing at the end of games. I'm not crazy about Derrick Rose offensively being out there in some of those situations, but it is what it is, and he made the right play, made the pass on Friday night. Luke Kennard, 15 points. Derrick Rose with 14. Christian Wood off the bench with 11. The Pistons go 11 of 25 from 3, 44%, so pretty low volume there for the Pistons, relatively speaking. Dwayne Casey, I think, wants to see a little bit more. But again, knocking him down at a very productive clip. A good game for TJ Warren and Malcolm Brogdon. Scored a lot, but at the end of the game, Bruce Brown put it down on him defensively. Bruce didn't score all that much, but he had a good floor game. 8 rebounds, 6 assists, something like that. I don't have the box score in front of me right now. But the Pistons return to action tonight, an 8 o'clock start, a little bit later than usual. Other time zone there in the Dirty South. More on that one later, but the rest of the week is Thursday, going south of the border, Mexico City to take on Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. And then after that, Saturday night in Houston, that's a couple of 9 o'clock starts. Houston's going to be coming in on the second half of a back-to-back after they play Friday night at Orlando. And then the Pistons coming home a week from today, that's Monday night, for the Washington Wizards. A little bit of revenge in order for Bradley Beal and his band of ne'er-do-wells that knocked off the Pistons in D.C. earlier on this season. But if you are a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and also my account at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Tag us both on Twitter and we will share and retweet and spread the positive vibes of the Locked On Pistons show, the Locked On Podcast Network, and all the other podcasts that you listen to out there in podcast land. Up next, I'm going to share with you my 3 biggest takeaways from Friday night and the weekend at large. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, it's the time of year when everyone is traveling or running around, getting thoughtful gifts for the people that you care about. Think about giving yourself the gift of an Audible membership. Now is the best time to do it with a special offer of 53% off of your first 3 months. Access an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivational series, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more. There's something for everybody. You can choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook, and 2 exclusive Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else. Listen on any device, anytime, anywhere with the Audible app. It's great while commuting, while at the gym, getting your fitness, or during your holiday travels as well. With Audible, you'll also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges and your own audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. Right now, for a limited time, you get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's a steal. That's more than half off the regular price. Give yourself the gift of listening. For more, go to audible.com/lockedonNBA. Right now, limited time, 3 months off Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA or text lockedonNBA to 500-500. Again, audible.com/lockedonNBA. Appreciate you guys taking care of our sponsors. I found a book that I am going to check out on Audible, and that is God and Starbucks, the memoir of Vin Baker. You should check that one out as well. audible.com/lockedonNBA.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to give you basically the sad story about the New Orleans Pelicans, tonight's opponent for the Detroit Pistons. But let's go with the 3 things, the takeaways from the game. And we know we don't like to dwell on the Friday night games too much when it's Monday morning. You guys are listening to the podcast because you've kind of moved on already. So more about the future, kind of looking ahead a little bit here. But first, an honorable mention, not one of the 3 biggest takeaways. But man, as we talked about on Friday, Miles Turner's numbers are going down. I'm just going to declare myself not really a Miles Turner guy. I know he gets it done on the defensive end, and that's kind of his calling card in the league right now. But man, the stats keep dropping every year. Pretty non-existent for him on Friday. Got sunned by Andre Drummond in this one. So, you know, just that's my honorable mention, is the public declaration that your boy is not a Miles Turner guy. But the 3rd biggest thing that we're going to take away from this one for the Detroit Pistons, and kind of coupling this with the game Wednesday night against the Milwaukee Bucks too, are the Pistons kind of getting an identity? Are they growing into a tough team? Is this a little bit of like the distant cousin, maybe a little bit of a derelict distant cousin of the Bad Boys or something like that. And obviously it's sacrilegious to throw out the Bad Boys term, but playing in that style, you know, we like to see that here in Detroit. We like to mix it up a little bit, but a little bit more of an intense game on Friday night. Of course, anytime you go down to the wire like that, Central Division rivals that have already played themselves each other four times this year, maybe it's a little bit natural for this kind of thing to be happening. But with some tough ball out there on Friday night, the Pistons didn't back down, got physical. Yeah, what you might expect out of an Indiana and Detroit game. If you don't remember, these teams have a little bit of history against each other. But the Pistons out-rebounded them 51-33, didn't back down in any way, shape, or form in this one against the Indiana Pacers, a team that prides itself on their defensive identity as well, has a tough coach in Nate McMillan that's been known to throw tough teams out there on the court year in and year out with the Indiana Pacers and previously with the Portland Trailblazers as well. And like I said, with Milwaukee and Indiana, those are Central Division teams. Those are teams that have a little bit of history with this team, the Pistons. We're not going to say that they're rivals of the Pistons because obviously those teams have been dominating season series and playoff series and every kind of series you could possibly imagine against this brand of the Pistons era that we're up against here. But, you know, it's kind of line up with that, especially with the Milwaukee beating the crap out of the Pistons eight times last year and two more times so far this year. But, you know, it kind of makes sense because Giannis is a player that you want to rough up a little bit. It makes sense to kind of try to do what you can to get in his head a little bit or make his life a little bit more confusing and difficult throughout the game. And, of course, Indiana being a team that relies on a couple of its best players are bigs, just like the Pistons and Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. When you have Miles Turner and Tabonis Sabonis like that, it kind of lines up that maybe this is going to be two teams that don't really like each other. And like I said, maybe the history plays into a bit of it as well. And Nate McMillan and Dwayne Casey, a couple of coaches that have been going up against each other, and the fans, you know, the Pacers uniforms still show up in Detroit, and we know how to boo those folks really well. But we'll see if the toughness travels. I mean, it's one thing to play tough and to act tough against the Milwaukee Bucks and to play tough and get a win against the Indiana Pacers. But when you got the young teams, the teams that spread you around the floor and can't maybe readily take advantage of your physical toughness as much in some of these games, maybe a team like the New Orleans Pelicans that won't shine through as much. Maybe the travel doesn't go all the way to the dirty, dirty South. Maybe Louisiana, the state lines, the traveling toughness doesn't come with it when you get to the Big Easy. As we know, it's also a little bit of a party city. Not bad for the Pistons, by the way, to spend the weekend in New Orleans. I don't know when exactly they went down there, but maybe Coach Casey was nice and gave these guys a little Christmas present by showing up early. And, hey, you know, go ahead and Saturday night do your thing out in Bourbon Street. Do what you got to do. Take Sunday off, maybe a little bit of a shoot around, light practice on Sunday. And then we'll take the court Monday night. Dinner's on Blake. And we'll see how everything went for the trip down to New Orleans, because I'm sure, like many of you listening, I've done the New Orleans trip myself, and you can find ways to get into trouble down there, that's for sure. But let's move on from that. The second biggest takeaway from this one, it's the stat of the day, and that's the Pistons have played 23 games this season, 21 of them against Eastern Conference teams, the most of any Eastern Conference team against other Eastern Conference foes, the most by a lot. So 21 games against Eastern Conference teams. The next best is the Cleveland Cavaliers. Pretty much an irrelevant franchise when talking about the standings because of how bad they are. They have 19 games, so that's two less. And then after that, it's Indiana and the New York Knicks at 17. So the Pistons have been loading up on Eastern Conference teams. We've talked ad nauseum about how easy the schedule has been so far, but yet the Pistons still sitting five games under 500. A lot of work to be done. A lot more notches to move up, stairs to climb, whatever cliche you want to use. The Pistons have to do a lot of digging to get out of this hole right now. So much Western Conference coming up the rest of the season, comparatively speaking. And that starts this week, tonight. Three games against the Western Conference with the Pelicans, the Mavericks, and the Rockets. One game that you're a favorite to win. And then, of course, two other games that you're expected to lose. So go out and get at least one of those, and we can start turning the tide on this season a little bit here. But speaking of this season in these kind of terms, my biggest takeaway from Friday night and the weekend as well, as we look ahead, is the red letter games. I did a little makeover of the red letter group since the beginning of the season started. Believe it or not, when the season started, I was dumb enough to have the Toronto Raptors on the red letter games. Now, what the red letter games are those teams that are just about on the same level of the Pistons in the Eastern Conference and will theoretically be going for some of those final spots in the playoff hunt. Like, we believe that the Pistons will be gunning for, and, you know, best case scenario is they end up at a 7 seed, possibly before the season if you wanted to get optimistic and say this team could be a 6 seed. I can buy that if you want to kind of tell yourself that that's a real possibility. Now, the thing about red letter games this year is a few teams got a lot worse, talking about Washington and Charlotte, and then, you know, some teams got better so far, and here's kind of the skinny on that. There's a lot less red letter games on the schedule this year. It's a pretty defined group of tiers out there. Like I said, I had Toronto as a red letter team before the season started. Didn't take long for me to run them off of this group. But I'm ready to take another team off of the red letter group, and that's the Miami Heat. They're too good of a team to be red letter right now. So we're moving the Miami Heat up there. The Chicago Bulls, I can't get down with that. I can't move the Charlotte Hornets up either. To me, those are still bad teams. Atlanta Hawks, when they get John Collins back, I got my eye on them as possibly being a second-half team that gets up into the playoff race. But really, the red-letter games right now are only games against the Orlando Magic, the Indiana Pacers, still on my list, and the Brooklyn Nets. That's it right now. And like I said, the Charlottes of the world, maybe even Washington if they get hot. These are teams that could end up on this list at the end of the season, but I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. And to the Pistons' credit, despite their horrendous record against bad teams this year and their even worse record against good teams this year, I believe 0-4, no big win against a very good team, the Pistons, to their credit, are 5-1 in red-letter games. Like we know, 3-1 against the Indiana Pacers, then also a win against Brooklyn and a win against the Orlando Magic. So 5-1 right now in the red-letter games. Those are extra important because obviously you get a win for yourselves and a loss for one of your rivals they're going to be going up against. So important to note that as you think about, you know, not only does a win against a good team nullify maybe one of those losses against a bad team, but you've already taken care of some of those tiebreaker situations. You've already taken care of some of those situations where you've beaten some of those teams. You got that feather in your cap already as the rest of the schedule beckons. You still got some of those easy teams that you can possibly beat and some of those good teams. You get a chance to pull the upset, and of course the Western Conference, all sorts of those teams coming up on the schedule too. So that's kind of my big takeaways from Friday night and looking ahead on the weekend to this week as well. But let's look ahead next to the Monday night game in the Big Easy against the New Orleans Pelicans. Ugly times for Elvin Gentry and the Pellies right now. What is going on with them? That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, let us talk about the New Orleans Pelicans coming in at 6-17. Not hot. Not coming in hot. Coming in very cold. No Zion Williamson, obviously the big storyline for the Pellies so far this year, and it has gotten dark down in New Orleans. They have lost 8 straight games. They just got torched on Saturday by nearly 50 points. They lost by 46 to Luka Doncic and the Mavericks, who lurk on Thursday's schedule for the Pistons, of course. All the more reason to better take care of business here against the New Orleans Pelicans. New Orleans has Miami and Philadelphia on the road after this. You better believe that they have circled this game against the Pistons at home as one that could be very winnable. I'll go ahead and say that, you know, it's, you don't want to play a team that just came after a 46-point rout. If they like their coach, if they want to rebound and kind of have a semblance of a bearable season going forward, teams that just lost by 46 might be a little bit dangerous. Now, of course, the wheels could be falling off completely, and this could be a good time to catch them, but I got to believe that Elvin Gentry's got to have these guys playing hard at home after a tough trip back from Dallas there. But, I mean, look, like I said, Milwaukee and Philly after this on the road for New Orleans, they could mess around and be on an 11-game losing streak in a few days, although we know that Philly isn't exactly unbeatable right now as maybe the schedule and the name brand might suggest. But what's gone wrong for New Orleans? Of course, Zion Williamson doesn't sound good for his injury situation right now. The latest update that I've heard is that it was not close and that they would be conservative with everything. Might even be a lost season for him. But such a bummer because you saw the videos of everyone excited when they won the lottery. I was a little bit jealous of them. I'm sure you guys were too. But they're just bad right now. What's going on? Well, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, they also picked up up in the draft, a guy that I coveted in the first round of the draft with the Pistons picking at 15. They passed him up for Sekou Doumbouya. He has not lived up to the hype about him at all. Even after a strong summer league, he has really kind of struggled, shooting 32% from the field. No bueno, indeed. The concerns about him was that maybe he wasn't strong enough to finish, and that certainly has been the case so far. But again, young rookie. Nobody's giving up on rookies right now. And had showed some promise in the summer with someone that other people were getting excited about coming into this year. Really kind of reminds me of a guy who's really taken a leap for them this year after taking maybe a half leap for the Lakers last year, involved in the Anthony Davis trade. In this offseason is Brandon Ingram of Duke, who has been great, really good. Made a leap this year, nearly 25 points a game, over 41% from three for the New Orleans Pelicans right now. Will that athleticism and length be an issue for the Detroit Pistons, who obviously we know don't have that guy that can match up with a guy like Brandon Ingram? So a little bit of a mismatch for the Pistons. I might throw some shekels on the New Orleans Pelicans given that kind of situation. Drew Holiday is another point guard who's dangerous that could expose the Pistons' defensive situation, let's call it. At point guard, J.J. Redick is a guy who could keep a Bruce Brown type very busy in addition to Drew Holiday. But J.J. Redick's been scoring quite a bit lately. Josh Hart came over in the trade as well. Lonzo Ball. I know you guys love the Lonzo Ball. They are not as bad as their record indicates in New Orleans talent-wise, which means that, you know, like I said, Alvin Gentry, former Pistons coach, might be in a bit of trouble here in New Orleans. We'll see how this all kind of shakes out. But who knows? It's kind of a bad scene right now down there with the Zion injury just kind of looming over everything in what should have been a really fun kind of renaissance season for the Pels. They were a team that everyone was looking forward to watching on national TV all the time. This game was actually supposed to be on NBA TV, and they flipped it, kind of shifted it out of there, put the Pistons against the Magic last week on instead, and really just flipped the Pelicans and Pistons off of it, moved another game into that slot. Definitely don't blame them for that. I don't know if I'd be watching if I wasn't talking to you guys on this podcast day in and day out. But the skinny is that Derek Favors, he's been out for a while. One of the only veterans, he's had his mother passed away, unfortunately, and has been away from the team for a couple weeks. Officially on the injury report on Sunday night, he was questionable, so possibly that he could come back. I haven't heard anything more reliable in terms of his status than that. Feels like a guy who might be a buyout or trade candidate this year. Not a lot of need for him in New Orleans, given that this season is going into the toilet, although you do need some veterans in rebuilds as well. And what does Vegas say? The Pistons on the road against a team with eight straight losses that just got hammered by 46 points. Would you believe that that team is favored to beat the Detroit Pistons? Yes, that's right. The New Orleans Pelicans, one-point favorites against your Detroit Pistons tonight. Makes some sense when you consider the 2-9 road record and the disaster of a season it's been so far, Friday night notwithstanding. But hey, maybe we're gaining a little bit of hope here. I guess that's, what, 3 out of 4 victories right now for the Pistons. So, you know, the train is slowly turning around in the right direction, and we'll see if this is a sustainable trip through the NBA standings on the train tracks. I tried to twist a little metaphor there. Didn't quite make it work, but the national show is something that's definitely working right now. Locked On NBA, daily bite-sized look at yesterday's action and what is upcoming as well. Rejecting the Screen with Noah and Adam. Those guys do a great job. Great wide-ranging NBA talk on Tuesdays. And Thursday, a long-form interview with a different NBA subject. And, of course, Hollinger and Duncan. You know how I like that show. Once a week, comes out on Sunday night. I haven't listened to it yet, but looking forward to it. The amazing insight of John Hollinger as well. But that'll do it for us. Enjoy the game tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. Talk to y'all tomorrow.